In all of that, he just is always looking for one territory to conquer. I was reading his book this afternoon, and the man has such a good heart. He explained that he has seen that all this, that one day on TV he quarreled with the World Bank representative. That what nonsense. You guys say that you are spending money. For every $100 you spend, $75 is spent in your country paying consultants and surveyors and assessors and all of that. The 25% that gets to the country, you use it to pay contractors. So the poor people never get anything. Why he does everything he's doing is to make sure the poor people get something. Are you getting my point? What am I bringing up from there? Complacency, all right, of fools destroys them. What does that mean? You make a foolish man prosper small, then he's happy. That's why God will eventually destroy him. But the man who continues moving forward, listen, look, setback in economies will keep on happening. But there are men that never get poorer because of it. Are you getting my point? They set back in the economy, they get richer. You know why? Because the Esau's will sell their birthright. Being a Jacob, he buys. When the economy prospers, everybody prospers. When it is set back again, he buys more. But such people, listen to me, what you must do is to constantly be on the cutting edge. You're always going forward. Are you getting my point? You are always going forward. Spiritual things, they are like that. You must constantly ride, otherwise you fall backwards. It's like climbing a hill on a bicycle. You stop pedaling, you start rolling backwards. Are you getting my point? Please, forget it from your brain. This issue that, what does a man want? What does a woman want in this life? You know what a man wants in this life? Should I tell you? Dominion. What did I say? Dominion. And until you achieve dominion, you can't rest. And after you have achieved dominion, you go to conquer another territory. Are you getting my point? You do what? You conquer another territory. That's divine assignment. It doesn't mean that you're looking for more money. There's so much that you can eat. In Nigeria of today, there's a certain amount of money you'll be given. And you have eaten, you have driven, you have lived in house, you've worn clothes. No, you know, look, no matter how much money you have, the best clothes you will still wear. Forget, it's not even Amani. And after how much is Amani? You pay $2,000, you have an Amani. By the time you have 20, you too, you'll be tired. Unless you have a mental problem. So it's not about what you will eat. By the time you have too much money, that's when you start watching your weight. I said, please, will you like a drink? You know, those are when we're very young. You give a man, serve him a bottle of malt. He said, no, please, let me have water. Water! God forbid. You go to a place, he say, will you like a Coke or water? My water. Water. What should you offer me water? Coke or water? Now bring the Coke. And then one day we traveled. I think there was a anyway. We went to Benin. My wife, my friend, we went for a convention. But anyway, when there was a wedding or something in my in-laws' house that day, so when we arrived, there was a celebration. So somebody came out to serve us, and my friend and I, Chuks and I, looked at each other and said, "Ah, no, please let me have water. Let me have water." And there was one younger brother with us. No, they had served us malt. Chuks and I looked the malt. Yeah, I beg. I bring water with the food. So they wanted to remove the malt away. Then the bro said, no, leave him. he was a youth copper. So Chuks, my friend, and I, we looked at each other, eyed each other and said, man, he's still young. That was what we two would have done. So he devoured his malt and went into our own after. I said, oh, he's still a young man. The older you get, the less you need those things. It's when they offer you a drink. I said, no, forget the drink. Bring the water. So when you get very rich, what are you going to drink? That's how they make expensive wine. Not because they are better. Because to make the rich man pay for it. As a young growing man, don't ever drink expensive wine. You know why? There's nothing inside. You don't know. The wine of 400 naira a bottle. And the one of 7,000 naira a bottle. The difference is not more than 200 naira in real value. It's just that the rich man has to feel his drinking. Someone was telling me that some of these governors, when they are meeting, each bottle of wine goes for 100,000 naira. One bottle of wine. Even if it was pure alcohol, how much is it? We use them for my lab. We buy a whole gallon for 2,500 naira, pure alcohol. A whole gallon. We use it in my lab. 2,500. So it can't be the alcohol. No big grape. They say you kept it in the cellar since 1932. So, has the Holy Spirit entered it now? Because, but each bottle, I'm serious, this guy's opened a bottle, 200,000 bucks. Do you know why? They have to feel like they are drinking. They can't drink malt. The doctor says it's bad for them. The man is diabetic now. He can't drink Fanta. And he has plenty of money. So, he decides to be drinking it. So, listen, my friend, in life, don't ever buy it. Believe me, this is the same thing. I was seeing art on TV the other day, one painting, 250,000 naira. There was one movie I saw many years ago, Thomas Crown Affair. They say a painting that was stolen was worth $100 million. At the end of the movie, when the girl was going to run away, she was talking to the policeman. The policeman looked like, what's my business? Because of a painting that's only valuable to a few silly, rich people. I never forgot those words. A few silly, rich people. A painting that measures 1.5 meter by 1 meter. $100 million. Policeman said, you give him my job to be chasing, you make him my job to be chasing, looking for the thief. What I'm not saying all of these is that, look, it's so easy to satisfy somebody. It's when people refuse to be satisfied, they start heaping value on things that really don't have value. But, so we're not talking about you becoming satisfied. That's not what we're discussing. We are talking about taking territories for God. I've left a number of things for you today. Business you don't know, don't do it except you're ready to learn. You get my point? You don't need to go around begging anybody. You have enough around you to start your own business. You get my point? What you need is what? Wisdom from above. What you need is wisdom. You will discover what... Go and listen to that message. Open my eyes, oh Lord. I'm giving you that as an instruction. It's part of the curriculum. Open my eyes, oh Lord. It's so important. What you need is wisdom. If God opens your eyes, you discover you don't need any, you don't need to sell your birthright. And I said, remember, you must win first in your mind. Are you getting my point? And then you plant your seed outside, no matter how little, and learn to plant the seed that's in the fruit. Do you get the point? Listen, let me tell you one more thing. Your case, you know I said at the beginning, there is a power that works towards those who believe. That you will continue to bear fruit and increase is because God is the one that is blessing you. Did I hear an amen? I'm not saying it's natural. Anybody who does this will succeed. I'm saying because you're a blessed person. We'll still discuss that. That is why, oh God, words. When Jesus spoke to a tree, the tree grew ears by force and committed suicide. The Lord looked and said, this tree, nobody will eat from you again. When we're talking about integrity, later we'll discuss that one. There's a way you build the power of righteousness in your soul so much that when you speak, listen, what matters most is that spiritual force. Are you getting my point? Everything we have described is like telling you how to build a fan. You finish building it, there's no power. You know it's not going to move. That is why there's no substitute. As a believer, don't ever forget to talk to what is yours. Talk to your money. You have need in your business. It says how much? 150,000 naira. You check everything. It's 5,000 bucks. Take that 5,000 bucks. Talk to it. Talk to the need. Talk to your business. Speak to your five loaves and two fish. Speak to it. The Bible says there is a power that works towards those who believe. Are you getting my point? When Jesus said this widow who gave two mites has given more than everybody else, he wasn't joking. Those two mites, planted properly, give it time. It will become something far bigger. He said the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Believe me, that seed is inside your heart right now and it is in your hands. Are you getting my point? Be careful. Don't just chop everything that comes your way. First of all, listen, create a vision. Are you getting my point? There must be a vision in your heart. I'm not saying that that is what God will do for you finally. But that is what God has to go beyond. And that's where he starts from. I'll give you an assignment between now and next weekend. Ask yourself, what do I really want to do? Are you getting my point? Look, you don't have to build a Grameen Bank. All right? And hold, if I expect you to hold 110% of the shares of your own company. I didn't say you should go and do a social business. Do you follow my point? That was his ministry. That was his goal. I showed you that to you to let you know how people can walk in life and be relaxed about life. There's a book I read many years ago. I still have a copy. God Owns My Business. That's the name of the book. God Owns My Business. You know what the man did? Let's assume the name of the company is Delic, as an example. The man built Delic, and then one day he called lawyers and transferred the ownership of Delic to a non-profit organization that sponsors missions. That's what he did. So he now became an employee. Do you get my point? So I wrote a book on it, God Owns My Business. Now, please listen to this carefully, because I'm not trying to make light of it. I think it's a great thing for a man to do. But when I finished reading the book, I smiled to myself. I said, the salary you are now being paid, now who owns it? I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. You have built a business, you have given it over to a mission sponsorship agency. So all the money they make goes to the mission. And then he is now an employee. The president of the company is an employee. That is now impossible for him to even lay hold of the profit, except he has to buy it back or something, you know. They have to agree with the trustees. That's what trustees do. They now make decisions because there's a board of trustees and all of that. Now, you know the interesting part? I think everybody should be impressed. Don't you think so? But you know, I wasn't impressed. You know, I just was not impressed. Why I wasn't impressed is that the formal signing of paper hasn't really changed what I would like to do. I don't know whether you get my point. If I wanted to sponsor a mission, do you get my point? I can personally decide to do that. My wife does that. There's a proportion of the profit she makes from this, her business, that is, nobody can touch it. Nobody on earth. That's what it is used for. Nothing more than that. So I told myself, I said, this one, writing a book on how you transfer ownership of your business to a trust, to a board of trustees that's sponsored. To me, I kind of wasn't so impressed. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a very good thing. But for me, I felt like this is supposed to be the life of every believer. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everything you own is supposed to be God's property. Listen, it is not only missions that God is sponsoring. Do you understand my point? That is why it is not only missions you will give all your profit to. R.J. Letourneau, the man who invented earth-moving equipment, sold the company and gave all the money out to mission. It's not a new thing. You know, people do it. The man was so good, when he sold the company, I don't know who to, he had to sign an agreement with the people he sold the company to that he will not design anything for 5 years. He had to sign an agreement with them that he won't design anything for 5 years. Because the man was so good, he's a self-taught engineer. Have you ever, if you watch Discovery or National Geographic, you see this machine they call LT-1000. I mean, okay, do you ever watch Jackie Chan in one particular movie where one big vehicle was rolling over houses? Those are Letourneau's engines. No, engines so big that a man used a ladder to climb to the driver's seat. I mean, you literally climb. They are bigger than, each one is about the size of our typical story building. Each tire is currently sold. One tire is sold for $50,000. I didn't say the car. I didn't say the truck. What did I say? One tire. The man designed those things. Finally, one day he got tired. He sold the company and gave every dollar that he made from it out to mission work. What I'm trying to say is that, see, each Christian, listen to this. Somebody said, who owns a Grameen Bank and Grameen Phone? None of my business. But your business must be owned by who? By God. All right? You holding all the stock, you are just a custodian. Do you get my point? One man decided to tie himself down with legal documents. Very fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's a very good thing. But I just wasn't impressed. I just felt that, look, this is what all of us should do. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. But because it is not only missions that God sponsors. Do you understand my point? Therefore, you use your money to do everything that you know God wants to do. Which includes what? Dominion. What did I say? Dominion. Don't ever be... Look, you have one shop in Obete today. I see you in 5 years' time. It must be 10 or 20. Or you have erected one giant mall somewhere in the center of Independence layout. And there's a branch already in Abakaliki. And you're already discussing with Walmart what you guys can do together in this region. And why not? Last time I heard you were in Abuja, checking what you guys can do there. Don't say, at least this shop can pay my children's school fees. May God not command the shop from your hand. Amen? I hope you've gotten my point. I hope I've made my points today. Have you learned anything? I'm not giving you details on how to buy stock or sell it. I don't know how to. But get the right thought pattern into your heart. And those other things will come out of you naturally. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.
So, this is for probably my benefit and for maybe anybody else that runs a business. Many times, small businesses encounter challenges. And if you're a business owner with a heart, maybe your business is in a recession or a depression of some sort. Okay? You're trying to maybe manage costs. Maybe you're thinking of laying off staff and stuff like that. It kind of bothers me sometimes. Maybe when... you're not making enough money to pay staff and all that kind of stuff. Do you lay them off? And how do you manage that situation? It's a good... The business people, regular business people say, pursue everybody.
Okay.
Buy enough machines to take care of people. But you kind of feel guilty. These guys didn't contribute to your loss or something like that.
Yes. All right. Is there any other question? Okay. Let me just answer that one. All right? If there's another one. Now... first of all, I am not going to try and give specific answers. You understand that, all right? Because there are different situations in different places. What I try to do is to get a right spirit. And when you have the right spirit, you will do the right things. Are you getting my point? I am not saying it is wrong to lay off staff. I can't say that. It's not possible. If you can't pay somebody, the honorable thing to do is to tell the person, I can't pay. You understand? Now, what I described before, which some people just threw off staff anyhow, is just because you want to have more money available to dash maybe the shareholders or, you know, make the accounting firm happy. That's what I think is a bit cruel. You understand my point? It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. Like you said, it's not the person's fault that things have turned the way they are. And then don't ever forget. You know what some of these companies do? They have last in, first to go. That's what they do. The logic behind it is that those who have contributed the most over the years, well, I don't know what their logic, but that's what I think, are the ones that should lose the least. That's why they do what they do. Now, what somebody do under such circumstances? Number one, my first principle, which I believe is that if you can't pay a staff, please, there's nothing you can do about that. There's really nothing you can do. Now, every other thing you do after that is based on your good spirit, your good nature. All right? Some people will say, okay, we can't. Well, you see the thing, the trend start. So what they do is that they give the person maybe a month or two off to go and resettle himself while they continue paying him his salary. Do you get my point? And at the end of that month, we will stop. But because we don't just want to throw you out suddenly, we'll give you time off. Please go. All right? But then to let you know that we are not angry with you, we'll manage and pay you next month or the following month while you try and resettle. You are not, the fact that you're not somebody's God. Are you getting my point? Really, all these things must be taken in context. You cannot do anything about it. Some other people, what they do is that, like I think it was Barack Obama that was speaking during his inauguration or who, was complimenting some people, commending some people who accepted lower pay so that nobody would be laid off. Let's assume that the company was paying a total of $10,000 a month, as an example, to 50 people, as an example. I don't know how much they were paying. That comes to $400, right? It's an example. Now, they now didn't have the money. So what they want to do is lay some people off, drop their wage bill to maybe about $7,000. So what everybody just said, all right, we'll work less hours.